Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Trying to figure out the Commanders' coordinator's schedule. We're working on that. We're working for you. Right now, we're excited to get Frank Schwab on the phone. You can follow him at Yahoo Schwab. Frank covers the hell out of the NFL, sports betting, all that good stuff. Frank, what's up, man? Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, happy holidays to you guys.
Some really boring football yesterday. A couple of ass kickings. I contend that the elite teams in the AFC, I think you go Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, have kind of separated themselves maybe from the rest of the NFL, but certainly the rest of the AFC. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's tough to disagree with that. Pittsburgh was up there, but they've just fallen apart on offense the past few weeks, so it's harder to trust them. And, you know, they're probably going to be a wild card team at this point. They've lost control of the division. I assume Ravens clinch that next week. So, yeah, those are your three teams. If it's anybody other than them, I'd be pretty surprised in the Super Bowl, because you're just getting elite quarterback play from all three of those teams. And even if Mahomes hasn't been, you know, lighting up the stat sheet this season, he's still Patrick Mahomes, and we saw it yesterday with some of those throws he makes, just ridiculous. So, I think Baltimore's really worked itself into the conversation. I wasn't on the Baltimore train, you know, 6 weeks ago or so. Their defense was just not good enough, but that has completely changed. Their defense, I mean, not that C.J. Stroud's having a great season or anything, but they completely shut that offense down. And all of a sudden, Lamar, Derrick Henry, that offense was good all season. They were going to be there. It's just a matter of could the defense kind of match it. And I think the answer now is yeah. The defense is there. The defense is at a championship level now, and where it wasn't early in the season. So that's the difference for them. And then, but the question is just, look, who's going to win at Arrowhead Stadium in January? They have two home games for a Super Bowl. And I don't think many people outside of Missouri and Kansas are rooting for it, but the Chiefs are just going to go to another Super Bowl, right? It just seems inevitable. It just seems like, who could possibly beat this team? I don't have anything against Kansas City. I like a lot of their people. I like your quarterback. I like the coach. All this stuff. But I just want some new blood in the Super Bowl, and I don't think we're going to get it. I think this is just how do you beat the Chiefs at this point?
You mentioned C.J. Stroud. He has really struggled this season. What's going on with him? Is it something where it's just a second-year slump and then he'll get back in the saddle in the third year? Is the O-line the big problem, some of the injuries with the receivers? What's been the issue with C.J. Stroud this season?
I think it's been a little bit of everything, and that's, you know, I mean, kind of a obvious answer when everything goes wrong. But I think it starts with the offensive line. Even though they had a ton of injuries on the offensive line last season, it didn't seem like it mattered too much. They were still fine. This season, they're not fine. I mean, CJ's got a guy in his lap just about every play. So, you know, I think play calling has been a lot more poor. I mean, Bobby Slowick was kind of the boy genius last year, right? Everybody, oh, he's going to get a head coaching job, this and that. I just look at it. They had a goal-to-go situation yesterday that was just awful. Like every play they called was just like, what are you guys doing here? So I don't think Bobby Slowick is helping at all. He's kind of had a sophomore slump, too. Losing receivers hasn't helped. I mean, he came in figuring on Stephon Diggs. And, you know, I mean, Nico Collins has been hurt during the season. Obviously, Tank Dell, we saw his season-ending injury. So that hasn't helped. And then a lot of CJ. I just think he's a less confident quarterback this season. I think that he's handled the pressure a lot worse this year. He just looks indecisive. And I think he's going to be fine. Like, you don't have a rookie season like that and just kind of fall off the map. He's probably the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen, although a year later maybe somebody else has taken that mantle. But I have a hard time believing C.J. Stroud is not going to be a star in this league based on how good he was as a rookie. But this season has been rough. I mean, it is just the wheels have just kind of fallen off. He's just kind of a shell of what he was last year. And I really hope he rebounds because he's an easy guy to root for. You always root for good quarterback play in the NFL. But, yeah, he's got to kind of go back to the drawing board in this offseason.
Talking with Frank Schwab here from Yahoo Sports. It's funny, you mentioned something there that everybody thought C.J. Stroud was the best a rookie could be last season. And Jaden Daniels this year, I would argue, has surpassed that. Now, Houston did win a playoff game last year, which is going to be a big factor in how we remember Stroud's rookie season. What do you think of the level Jaden's playing at?
It's unbelievable. It really is. I mean, you knew that. Look, if you can dominate the SEC, you can come in and do pretty well in the NFL. Like, we all know, the SEC has it's the NFL's JV at this point. The way they recruit, the guys they get, the coaches, everything. It's a different step up from look, I'm a Big Ten guy, but I can admit the SEC is a step up from everything else. And he just absolutely positively dominated the SEC. So you're like, okay, he has a chance, but to this level, no, nobody. I love the Commanders in the offseason. Like, I thought they were going to be a playoff team. I really did. You can go back. There's receipts.
But I think you were wrong with us saying that.
Anybody I was on with, I was saying, you know, everybody asked in the offseason, who's your surprise team? Who can? And I said the Commanders, and I said you guys, and everybody else was like, wait, the Commanders? What? And I said, yeah, because this kid, they got a quarterback, is going to be a game changer. But even that optimism, I didn't think he'd be that dude throwing five touchdowns and leading a comeback win over the Philadelphia Eagles, who have, by the way, had the best defensive football over the last month or two. I mean, he is just so refined. He's so far ahead of almost every rookie quarterback we've seen as a passer. And then you add on the fact that he's going to break RG3's rushing record for a rookie quarterback. It's just remarkable. I don't think his I don't want to be negative here. I don't think his Commanders roster is very good. I think even most people would agree with that, right? Like,
yes,
there's
they got
so
us.
Many flaws in this roster that they're so far ahead of schedule, basically. But it's just that dude is so good already as a rookie that if they're at 10 wins, they're going to go to the playoffs. They're dangerous out in the playoffs. And then you go into the offseason and let Adam Peters do his thing because you got a ton of cap space. You got the draft picks. You're going to improve that roster. So, yeah, I can't say enough about Jaden Daniels. I mean, it's not just who's the rookie of the year. Look, I'm based in Colorado. I've heard a lot of, hey, Bo Nix is really the rookie of the year. No, he's not. No. Bo Nix is a good rookie quarterback. Jaden Daniels is a historic rookie quarterback. And, I mean, he's closer to getting MVP votes than he is to losing rookie of the year. So, I can't say enough about him. He's been a treat to watch, just a thrill. I hope he stays healthy. That's always a key to this thing, especially with a dual-threat guy. But, yeah, credit to him for putting in the work to be great. Credit to the Commanders for coaching them up. Everything about it is just awesome to watch.
Sunday Night Football is going to be a matchup of rookie quarterbacks. Obviously, Jaden Daniels on Washington and Burgundy and Gold. Michael Penix making his second start. What'd you make of his debut, and what more does he bring to the offense that Kirk couldn't?
I just think Kirk looked slow, old. I mean, we forget. Tom Brady screwed this whole thing up because he was balling out at 45 years old, and everybody said, well, then everybody else can ball out till they're 40. And that's just not the case. He was just one of one. Tom Brady's just a freak. Like, he's just like LeBron. Like, it's just one of those things that just is hard to replicate. So, you know, when Kirk Cousins was 36 coming off Achilles, I think everybody was just like, oh, well, the new, you know, 45 is the new 40 and all this kind of stuff. And it's not. It's, we just saw a guy, the age curve just hit him hard. And so, you know, I think Michael Penix just gives them a little bit more of just competent quarterback playing. I hate to say that about Kirk because I think he's had a good career. I really do. I'm not one of these guys that bashes Kirk Cousins. But I think it was just over for him. Everything looked slow, and the ball's coming out slow, and everything. You just didn't have that quick twitch you need sometimes. And I think Penix just gives him a little more juice. He played really, really well. The stats don't really show it. He had a lot of drop passes. It wasn't lighting it up. He wasn't Jaden throwing five touchdowns, right? But when you watch him, you're like, wow, he looks really good. And you forget that Michael Penix played a lot of college football. He's an experienced guy. I think that's a big look. We're right now, it never happens that you hit more than really 50% of the first round quarterbacks, right? Like, it's just, you're lucky if six were drafted, you get three good ones out of it, right? Right now, we're 5 of 5, and we haven't seen J.J. McCarthy. And I think a big part of that is the experience, the COVID year, NIL keeping guys in school an extra year. These guys have played a ton of football, and so when you watch Michael Penix, you say, well, he doesn't look like a rookie, really, because he's played a ton of high-level football. Maybe not NFL football, but he knows what he's doing. He's really, really smart. He's mobile enough to make plays that way. And I was pretty impressed with how calm he was. Now, look, he did against the Giants. Does that really count? I don't know. But I think Penix is, from everything you could see in his first NFL start, you say, yeah, he's probably going to be a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, I like Penix. I liked him a lot coming out. I remember David Aldridge. The Skins played in Seattle last year, and the Washington Huskies were home against Utah, and a bunch of us went to the Washington game before the Saturday, and which is an incredible stadium, by the way. But as we were watching, I remember David Aldridge said something to the effect of, you know, all these draft experts keep telling me that these other guys are better, and all this kid does is just keep throwing bombs. Yeah. And I just – Penix is a player. I like Washington in this spot. I just don't know that the Atlanta offense can just keep coming the way Washington does. But then if you look at the rosters on paper, Bijan, Pitts, London, like Atlanta should be – really moving the ball, and it just hasn't really worked so far.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're a Washington fan, you wish you would have caught Atlanta a couple weeks ago, because I think they're a better team right now with Penix. And again, I'm not trying to just, you know, bash Kirk because he doesn't deserve that for the career he's had, but you could just see a different tempo. You could just see they're just playing at a different level with Penix last week, and probably a lot of confidence. Like, hey, like this guy is doing. Like, they're not gonna say it out loud, but probably, hey, looking around, like, this kid's doing some things Kirk just couldn't anymore. So
yeah,
I mean, and you go back to Penix in the college football playoff last year, that semifinal game, just awesome. Like, I mean, everybody made fun of the Falcons for that draft pick, and I did too on draft night. But as the offseason went on, you kind of understand it a little bit more that, hey, why not double up at quarterback? It's so important to get it right. What's wrong with drafting a guy you really, really believe in? I think the Falcons really believed in this kid, and are pretty happy to have him now, I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah, and so what? Your cap gets messed up for a year if you have a quarterback. It doesn't matter. Washington.
Yeah, as long as you get it right.
Washington
as long
has a quarterback.
You get the final answer on the test, right?
Yeah, exactly. Talking with our friend Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. You can follow him at Yahoo Schwab, SCHWAB. If you do want to get on the radio and bash Kirk Cousins, DC ain't the worst town for it. That's all I'm saying.
I know, right? Yeah, I've been thinking about that. Yeah.
No, but. You've written a lot about the MVP race, and I think by all accounts it's Lamar versus Josh Allen, and I honestly think if it goes to Allen, who's been deserving, it's because people are just tired of it going to Lamar. I think you see this in sports, right? Like, the only reason anybody but MJ won an MVP is because people just got tired of MJ winning it. I think that's happened with Mahomes, why nobody's rooting for the Chiefs anymore.
I'm based in Denver. Joel Embiid didn't deserve MVP 2 years ago. They just were sick of voting for Jokic.
True.
Right. Totally. You just see it happen. And it's kind of a sad indictment on the media, which we're all a part of, frankly. I don't have a vote. If I did, I think you just got to base it on the season that's unfolding rather than the history prior to it. But what do you think happens with the MVP award?
I will push back. I disagree. Like, look, there is some voter fatigue involved with, hey, let's give it to somebody new. Like, that's just kind of human nature. But yeah. I don't think it would be as egregious as MJ not winning MVP every year in the 90s, which he should have. I think Josh Allen's perfectly deserving. I do. I don't have a problem. This is one of the few, and I just tweeted this out. Like, this is one of the actual MVP races. We talk about it, like we talk up guys, oh, this guy can win MVP when really he has no chance, and then Lamar gets 49 votes or whatever. I think this one's going to be like 27 votes for one guy, 22 for another, and then some rando is going to vote for Saquon Barkley. Like, it's going to be that right. close this year, and I'm fine with either one. I really am. It's one of the rare times where I can't sit here and tell you this, I think, is the right answer for MVP. I'm fine with Josh Allen. Like, they took away Stephon Diggs from him. They said, we're trading Stephon Diggs because you're just going to carry the more of the load. And he's responded so well to that. So I don't have a problem with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's been Superman all year. If you watch the games, you know he's playing at a really, really high level. But great. Lamar Jackson, the greatest rushing quarterback of all time, is about ready to set the all-time single-season passer rating record. Like, how do you deny him MVP if he does that? He's at 121.6. Aaron Rodgers' record is 122.5. So he's one more great game to basically have the best passing season of all time as far as efficiency goes. How do you deny him? I don't know. I don't know the right answer. I think that, you know, we saw, like, you know, Barry Sanders and Brett Favre split an MVP once upon a time, and Steve McNair and Peyton Manning did once upon a time. If these two guys somehow both ended up in a tie for first place in MVP, I'd be fine with it, actually. I think they both right. are so deserving, and I don't have a problem with either guy winning it.
Dude, I tend to agree with you. And what's even more remarkable is you mentioned Saquon, who's not going to win it, but at least deserves to be part of the conversation. Lamar's going to have his best ever passing year. I think this is his first. I don't want to say first ever, yeah. but I think, has he ever gone over 4,000 yards? He's going to.
I don't believe he has. And he's got what, he's missed 39 touchdowns after yesterday.
Dude, he's got 39 against four picks.
That's crazy. I know. And you know, he's doing this with, I mean, people talk about Derrick Henry like, oh, well, he's got Derrick Henry. It's easier for him. Well, that also means a lot less volume for yeah. to throw 39 TDs when Derrick Henry's taken up so many of them is actually
and only four picks.
The four picks
yeah,
as well.
Crazy.
Well, dude, I do think Baltimore has more help for Lamar. I think that offense is yes. better, more refined than what Allen cool. is dealing with in Buffalo. But it shows the level both these guys are at that Joe Burrow is leading the NFL in passing yards, touchdowns. He has 39. He's tied with Lamar, 39 touchdowns. But he hasn't played yet this week, so that number is most yeah. likely to go up. He only has 8 picks on the year with an absurd So Burrow has one less game played than Lamar right now. They're tied in passing touchdowns. He's 300 passing yards ahead of him and has thrown the ball 125 times more and still only wow. has four more wow. interceptions. Yeah. Like, that's Burrow's crazy. Season is bananas, well, and we're just not even discussing
yeah, 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 and, awesome, and Frank, what the heck happened to Lou Anarumo's defense that we were all enamored by? They were the one that gives Kansas City all this trouble. And this year, if they had any semblance of defense, they'd be one of the top teams of the AFC.
Yeah, totally disappointing. I can't remember too many times a quarterback has played at an MVP level and not even made the playoffs. And the Bengals still have a shot to make the playoffs. It depends if the Broncos kind of collapse here. But, yeah, it's just shocking. Like, yeah, Lou Anarumo, remember 3 years ago, he was the guy. Like, he was, oh, hey, everybody's got to interview this guy. He might be the next head coach of the NFL. It just goes to show how quick it can come and go. And they've just – I just don't think they got great personnel. And – maybe people have figured out he has a very confusing scheme, right? Like, that's what he does. He tries to confuse quarterbacks. Well, you get enough film on it, you kind of figure it out after a little bit. So, yeah, totally disappointing that the Bengals aren't going to make the playoffs because they're just wasting one of the best years I've seen in a quarterback play. Like, Joe Burrow's playing at that level that we really rarely see. And to miss the playoffs, if that happened, well, that would just be a debacle for the Bengals.
And this is the type of season where you have to make changes, right? Even it's probably not Zach Taylor, but are they going to move on from Anarumo?
I assume so. Like, I don't know. Let's say they miss the playoffs, right? Because if they make it, it's just a different thing, right? And we all know that. If they miss the playoffs, I don't know how you don't fire Anarumo. Like, even if I hate moves done just to make moves, right? Like, you're always asking, like, well, are we going to get somebody better or not? But I think a season like that, you almost have to do it. You almost have to say, we can't look Joe Burrow in the eye if we don't make some major changes. He plays that well and not even make the playoffs. It would just be harsh. And I think they would have to change defensive coordinators and just to signal to everybody that, you know, it's not acceptable to waste Joe Burrow like this.
It is remarkable, and I think I don't blame Anarumo at all. I think it's ownership. I mean, you look at the talent that has left that organization.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what – I mean, hell, Washington's going to see him. Jesse Bates is such a stud, and just the amount of talent drain they've lost there. Go ahead, Frank.
And they're about ready to lose one or two of their receivers, too.
I think Higgins might be here.
Yeah, I think that's what's actually that's exactly what I think is going to happen. I think the Bengals should re-sign T. Higgins. I do. Like, just go all in. Just hey, this is what makes us special, is having these two receivers with this quarterback. But we all know this, the Bengals, they're not going to do it. Yeah. I can't even tell you for sure they're going to end up re-signing Ja'Marr Chase because they're just that cheap. Like, the Ja'Marr Chase contract was one of the easiest in the NFL. Like, okay, you're basically Justin Jefferson. This is what Justin Jefferson got. Here you go. Like, that was so easy, and they fumbled that, and it cost themselves millions of dollars along the way.
Totally. It's been remarkable to watch. Frank, thank you for the time as always, man. Appreciate you.
Absolutely, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right. That's our guy, Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Give him a follow at Yahoo Schwab. Joe Witt, Jr., Commanders defense coordinator, next.